Join Rabbi Dr. Reb Mimi Feigelson as she blends stories, teachings, and spiritual direction, inspiring us to inscribe ourselves in the Book of Life and Living. One of the world's most vibrant teachers of Chassidut, this podcast celebrates the life and teaching of Reb Mimi, an essential link in the chain of the Hasidic rabbis who preceded her.
Welcome to the fourth Mishnah of the first chapter of Pirkei Avot, which means that we're not going to do every Mishnah in order, which also means that we can spend a lot of weeks on one Mishnah and we can spend 1 week on another Mishnah. And I felt it was like so important to spend time on the first Mishnah. We spent 4 sessions together on the first Mishnah, because I feel in some way that Mishnah actually gets crossed over so quickly. It seems like a list, and then we move on from there. But Dafka, I feel that there were so many important questions and things to be thinking about in the lens of how the Maharal was reading it, that it was like important to spend that time. And for me, the questions that we posed are always have been feeding me throughout. So here we're going to look at another opportunity to think one other question, and that was, the way I coined it for today is, what does your guest list look like? And I always find it interesting, to be honest, when you get an e-invite, whether the guest list is public or not, what does that mean? Or when people, to be honest, when invite you for Shabbat, like, so I'll never ask who else is coming. I'll never ask who else is coming when I'm invited somewhere. But you know, like I call it like a bonus, like when you find yourself sitting at a table and like, if you could put the table together, this is who you would put together. And the way I always phrase that is, when that happens, I quote the statement, "Tzadikim melachtam neset bidei achirim." Righteous, tzadikim, their labor is done by others. So whenever that happens, I'll say to our host, I'll say, thank you so much for making us tzaddikim, because all we want is to sit and have a Shabbat meal together, and here all we do is show up, and we have an amazing Shabbat. We didn't have to do the shopping, we didn't have to do the cooking, we didn't have to make the phone calls, right? And we're getting to spend a Shabbat together. So thank you for making us tzaddikim. So that's how I want to think about this, and really to think about it more expansively in terms of not only what does our guest list look like, but who are the people that come in and out of our home? That's the kind of question. Who are the people that are regulars in our home? What does that mean? What does it say about us or who we are or the kind of home that we have? And I think I already shared this with you, that there was a year that I learned with anyone who wanted to learn with me. So that was the deal. The only part of the deal was that they had to come to the house. So whoever wanted that year to learn Chavruta with me, happy to learn with them, they had to come to the house. And I always wondered, like, what were people thinking? Because truth be told, for whatever reason, and I'm sure, I like to call him Rabbi Freud, would have a lot to say about it, but my chavrutas throughout my life have been primarily men. Not that there haven't been women, but primarily my chavrutas were men. Something like, what do they think about this ongoing entourage of men that walk in, and it's always one, walk in, an hour and a half later they walk out, normally smiling, and multiple times throughout the week, you know, 5-6 times a week they walk in, hour and a half later they walk out. Never asked, and I never offered any information. But I always wondered, and I wanted to try to explain to them, they're my chavruta, and we're learning, and this one we're doing this, and we're chassidut with, and this one we're doing gemara with, and like whatever, I'm like, yeah, right, whatever you call it. But I want you to think about it, like, who has your spare key? Who has your spare key? Who are the people that knock on your door without an invitation? Who are the people that need a 6-month invitation? These are the kinds of questions I want to be thinking about. So the Mishnah, Yossi ben Yoezer ish Tzreda v'Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim kiblu mimeno from Antigonos. And the question they ask is Yossi ben Yoezer omer yehe beitcha beit vad lechachamim v'yeh mitabek ba'afar agleihem v'heve shote b'tzama edivrehem. So make your home a beit vad lechachamim. Make your home a home where chachamim will come to be. Or will they know that that's a place where they can be. And then you position yourself, really, be in this mitabek ba'afar agleihem. I want to say, really, I think the pshat. I don't know a pshat. You know that by now, right? But as wherever they're walking, you're walking right behind them because you are kind of collecting the dust from their feet. And drink with thirst their words. So, you know, I have to be honest. Like when I came to LA, the apartment that I took because... And for two reasons. One is I love that there are three stairs up to my bedroom. It made me feel like a queen. Like I have to do nothing, just walk into my bedroom, walk up three steps, and I have this sense like ascending to my bedroom. And the other is the Beit Midrash, because in my mind, I thought there was going to be a key somewhere stashed at the entrance, and I'd walk in at the end of the day, and I'd have no idea who's downstairs learning, and I would go to sleep at the end of the day and there'll still be people downstairs learning. In my mind, when thinking about where I wanted to live and what I wanted to be the space where I live in, that for me was a really important element. What does this look like for your home to be a Beit Vad L'Chachamim? Kvar amarnu. כי הגדולים לפי גודל מעלתם היה מוסר שלהם בדברים גדולים מאוד. I've said this, and we've said this before. They're telling us important things. Things that we need to know. הוא בא יוסי בן יועזר להזהיר על ביתו של אדם. And he's come to warn us. But I always, when I see this word להזהיר, I also want to say, and I know it's an upshot, but to shed light on. From Zohar, from Splendor. Al beito shel adam, on a person's home. Asher sham dirato, shesham tehiyeh chokhma. What an amazing thought. That our home should embody wisdom. That our home should embody wisdom. So I think more often than not, and correct me if I'm wrong, not too loud and too public, nonetheless, that we think about going out of our home to acquire, going out into the world to acquire wisdom. Going out into the world to find people. Next week is going to be the yahrzeit of my teacher, Madame Colette, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, is next Monday. And she, for the last 20 years of her life, didn't leave the house. And the world came to her. People from all over the world. And her home was this Beit Vad L'Chachamim. And her home was a place where there was wisdom. And she didn't have to go anywhere. But the truth is, in her mind, she traveled. Not in her physical body, but in her mind, she traveled. And there are people that will open their home for shu'ulim. There are people that will open their home for gatherings. There are people that will open their home for hosting. What does this mean that our home ששם תהיה החוכמה, or a home where you know I can always go, I can always take refuge in that place, or a home where I know that that home will be a place where I can be safe, or I'll always, no matter who's in the house, there'll be something that I can learn. No matter what's happening, there's something that I can learn. And I've seen homes like this that you walk in and you never know what's going to be going on in that moment. Ve'en safek ki beto asher sham dirato hu ikar gadol kasher hu bet eloki kadosh. And it's an amazing and a holy experience that our home isn't only our walls. You know, Rabbi Shimon would say this often. He'd say, a person can have many addresses and not have one home. Right? And that's true. It's a different question saying, where's your, what's your address? And where's your home? Or where are you at home? Right? Or home little h or capital H? כי עיקר גדול כאשר הוא בית אלוקי קדוש. בית אלוקי קדוש. לפי שהאדם תמיד שם. Because the person is always there. וכאשר ביתו אשר שם דירתו במעלה, נחשב לאדם שיש לו מעלה גדולה עליונה. Because the truth of the matter is, our home is where we leave from and where we go back to. So when Rabbi Nachman says, לכל מקום שאני הולך, אני הולך לארץ ישראל. Wherever I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Right, I think the Maharal is saying the same thing. In terms of how do we perceive our home? Where are we walking out from? Where are we entering back? You know, those of you who have walked into the house with me, you know, go, hi home, like I'm home, right? I talk to my home. Yeah, I've said it in public. Because I have such gratitude to that space that holds me. And I know that I have this space that's waiting for me. And that no matter what happens during the day, I know that there is somewhere that I will return to that will hold me the way I need to be held.
והתבהר בסמוך שבא לתקן בית האדם בעבודת השם יתברך, בפרט באהבתו ובהירתו.
So how is it that we are going to create our home as a place where it is filled with God's love and awe?
וכבר אמרנו כי אנטיגונוס תיקן את האדם עצמו.
So in the previous Mishnah, Antigonus was talking about the individual themselves.
ביראת שמיים ואהבתו יתברך.
How do we come to this place of the love of God and the awe of God?
ואין אדם בלבד, כי צריך הוא אל בית ואישה ובני בית. ובא הזוג הזה לתקן הבית אשר הוא צריך אליו בבית, לתקן ביתו באהבה וביראה.
So he's saying what, and I love the fact that he calls יוסי בן יועזר איש צרידה ויוסי בן יוחנן a zug, a couple. Or a pair, right?
We talk about the zugot, the pair.
But nonetheless, there's a way in which there's a coupling happening here. One is saying, okay, you need to be fixed, but the truth of the matter is your surrounding also needs work. So what does that mean that we need to take inventory and take account to also our surroundings? And I want to say whether that's our clothing, the surrounding of our bodies, our home, okay, my car, which I think is an extra room in my house, right? So if I don't have a library in my car, right? So someone's like, oh my God, it's crazy, like you've got all these books in your car. Right, like who needs a Tanakh in their car? And a Siddur in their car? And the Tur Shulchan Aruch and Avelut in their car? Among other things, the rabbi's manual in your car. Just a sense of what's going on in my car, in my water bottles, and right? But then you have other people, you walk into their car, I'm like, thinking, oh my God, like people don't even drink water in this car. Because the water may stay in their carpeting. Okay, have you been in cars like that? It's like, careful when you're chewing gum, because you know. And I'm not saying anything, but other than to say that these are all expressions and extensions of who we are. And what we're being asked here is to be accountable for that as well. So that's why, for example, I don't listen to the radio when I'm in the car. And rarely to music even, sometimes, but rarely even to music. Like, car is downtime, car is quiet time, car is prayer time. And keeping my eyes on the road. on doing all of that. So I wanna expand this concept of bayit to those elements that we surround ourselves with. You know, someone would say, my jewelry is part of my bayit because it's so much a part of who I am. How do we cultivate these spaces around ourselves in with God's love and awe? And this is why he said, may your home be this place where they come. Beit vaad l'chachamim. Sheyeh b'toch beito chachamim. So there should be these wise people in your home. And part of me wants to say, and you'll see, he'll talk about the mind, but also what are the thoughts that are cultivating our mind? What are the thoughts that are going on in our head as we go through the day? וזהו שלמות גדול כאשר ביתו הוא עומד לחכמים. And it's a great level that when your home is the kind of home where chachamim will want to come to. You know, for me personally, truth be told, it's about the kids. Right, when my friends, my home, I intentionally, like when you walk into my home here, versus my home in Yerushalayim, right? My home in Yerushalayim, all the sfarim, all the books that were in the Beit Midrash, that's what you found when you walked into my home. Now, granted, I had a small one bedroom, an amazing home. I loved it. And when you walked in, that's what you saw. So all the tchotchkes and the books, all of it. And I said to myself when I came here that I was going to take the books out. Why? Because I didn't want people to be intimidated when they walked into my home. And that's why I have the stuffed animals. Because my friend's kids, they love coming to my house. I have the tigers, the stuffed animals, and I have Smokey, and I, right? And they're all there to play with. And yes, there's the English library in one room, there's the Beit Midrash downstairs, it's on that, right? And there are a few books. And there are piles of papers. But it's important for me that when people walk into my home, they know, oh my God, I'm going to Reb Mimi's home. What am I going to find there? And how am I going to behave? And I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think that you walk in and it's kind of like, oh, can I touch everything? Can I play? What can I play with? What can I be with? Because like my chachamim are the kids. That's also true. Right, that's the most important thing. The biggest compliment is one of my friend's kids says, oh, we're coming, will you make your onion soup? I'm like, okay, shoot me, like my work is done. My onion soup is good. Who wants to come to your home? Tell me, who wants to come to your home? Then we can talk. What does that say about who we are and what kind of space we've cultivated? ואמר והווה מתאבק בפר רגליהם, כלומר שלא יהיו חכמים נחשבים אליו כמו דרך חברים, שבזה היה ממעט במעלת החוכמה החכמים, כאשר הוא עדיין אינו חכם כמותם, אבל יהיה מתחבר אליהם, דהיינו להשפיל תחת רגליהם. וזה הווה מתאבק בפר רגליהם, שסוף שפלותם עד שיהיה מתחבר אל שפלותם. So what the Maharal here is asking of us, he's asking for us of an element of humility. That's also true. How do we, on the one hand, make them welcome in our home, but not forget what it is that we need to be learning from them? And there's going to be that balance. And it's interesting that for me, for the Maharal, thinking about what it means, there's a dance happening here. On the one hand, there's a Beit Vad, and on the other hand, there's a Mitabek Baraglim. There's a way in which they are part of your home, and on the other hand, there's a way in which there's a respect, a reverence that offers some kind of distance. And in this dance, right, some people call it a tension, in this tension or in this dance between this love and awe, it's the same thing. Love and awe with God, love and awe with our teachers. There's a way in which I want to say love and awe with our friends as well. Like, what would it mean to actually love and reverence for our friends? Right? Chavruta, I think, can be that. I know I've been blessed in my life with a chavruta like that. That we carry each other in love and in reverence. Deep love for each other, and then continuously seeing each other's greatness. And each one of us being humbled in relation to the other's greatness. So if you ask me, what are one of the definitions of that quality of chavruta? Like, I want to say chavruta, capital chet. Right? It'd be that. This profound love and this profound reverence that you carry for each other. Like, your heart on the one hand is a bed vad for the other, and at the same time you are mit abeg ba falag lehem. I think that is really when he says a ma'ala gdola, a great level, that for me is like an amazing aspiration in terms of what chavruta capital chet can look like. V'davar ze ra'uy, and this is worthy and fitting and appropriate. V'ze mipnei ki hachacham ki sechel gam ken hu nivdal min ha'adam v'mitchaber letalmid chacham כמו שני חברים, לא יהיה חכם אצלו במידת השכל שהוא נבדל. Because it's our intellect and our mind that separates us. And that's where we can, that's where we can see what it is that we need, where we need to learn and where we need to grow. And it's like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right? Rabbi Yochanan goes crazy when Rabbi Elazar ben Pdat comes in. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Pdat, with all my respect to Rabbi Elazar ben Pdat. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says, what? I don't know what I'm saying is right. Bring a Tana de Messiah, supporting me with everything I say. Like, I'm not going to learn from that. But Reish Lakish, everything, 24, back and forth, 24, Kavdala Prikin and Kavdala Prikin. Every time I said something, he would attack me. He would show me a flaw. He would show me, right? And then I come back at him, and we go back and forth 24 times. So that's the dance, that's the struggle, right? Do I want someone who thinks like me, or do I want someone who thinks differently than me? Like, who are those people that I turn to? Because I need a different perspective. Because I need to be thinking differently. וזה מפני שהשכל הוא גם נבדל ומתחבר לתלמידי חכמים כמו חברים לא היה חכם אצלו במידת שכל שהוא נבדל ולא שיהיה נבדל לגמרי אני אומר, he says, don't separate yourself like, awe is a big word and it can come to a place where that shuts you down שאם כן לא היה תלמיד חכם אצל האדם במדרגת השכל שהוא באדם if he was so other then you wouldn't be able to learn from them because that's about them, not about yourself. I remember I was teaching last year when I was home at Ma'ale Gilboa. It's an amazing yeshiva in Israel. And I was teaching Brachot, Gemara, Brachot Lamed Aleph, 31. And one of the students, he said, and I'm posing this as a possibility of really challenging God, and demanding of God a certain level of moral manifestation in the world. And one of the students said, well, you know, she can do this. Chana can do this. Chana can make this claim of God, but I can't. And I remember leaning over the shtender and saying, I love you dearly, but you need to explain to me, how does this serve you? Why saying it's okay for her to ask this of God, but not okay for you to ask this of God? How that serves you? And why do you think this page of the Gemara is not your page as well? It's like silence. And the truth is, afterwards I went over to make sure he was okay. Because that's like a really, it was like a hard moment. Like in his face for a moment. I guess they're not so connects to that.
But if you make someone other to the extent that you cannot relate to what they're doing, or the otherness doesn't avail you that information or that way of being, then also, then what good is it, I want to say, for your house to be a bet mo'ed, a bet vad chachamim, if all you have is the respect and the reverence and that distinction, that otherness, that says, oh, that's them. But that's, oh, I could never learn that, or I could never do that, or that's their life, but it can't be my life. So there's going to be a fine line between reverence and respect and objectification. They're not objects, they're people. We're all people, and we all share a piece in the puzzle. So that's why I've been continuously using the word awe and not fear. And that's going to be a very delicate process. How do you maintain that respect? No, Rabbi Mickey Rosen of blessed memory. He starts it in 2 weeks. Chet Kislev. It's a good month, Kislev. I remember there were, you know, I would always walk into his office, into his study, and I'd say, well, I can't sit here. Why? Because there's one seat behind his desk. I would never sit there. There's the other seat where he would, you know, daven in, and there was another seat where he would sit kind of like not there, not there. So there were 3 chairs in his study. But in my eyes, all 3 of them were his 3 chairs. So there was always this like moment. So one of them was, of all the 3, was the one that, okay, we can negotiate that one. We can negotiate that one. Betvad on the one hand, which is an intimacy. Intimacy that is also mitapek bafaraglehim, an intimacy that says, I have what to learn. Please use my home, I have what to learn. Velo shen yuvdal legamri min atanuf. And I love the fact that he's concerned about understanding what happens when you objectify a person for their wisdom, for their greatness, for their midot. I want to say, even if you would objectify someone for their humbleness. Oh, but I could never be that humble. And I'd like to say, why don't you try for a week? And then we'll talk. See what it looks like. You'd be so other. You wouldn't say, like, I don't have the same attributes. I'm not that person. And this is where the Maharal takes it one step closer, which I alluded to in it beforehand. Talking about a person's body. Let your home, how does your home house you? How do we take care of our bodies as a vessel to serve? I have a friend that, God bless her, when she was pregnant, she would go places for her baby. She would say, while they're on the inside, they need to be at weddings. They need to hear, they need to go to shulim. I don't understand what's being said, but they need to hear this Torah. They need to be in the presence of these people. And she would intentionally go places to expose her child to be to all these sounds. And I had a chavruta one year who she said to me, she's pregnant when we're learning together. And when I saw her baby, she said she responds differently to you than anyone else. And I said, well, yeah, because we've been learning together for the whole time. But it really was a sense, like we had been together. We had been sharing Torah the whole time while she was cooking, baking. And then he says, V'kach yeh noheg yim talmid chacham beveito, shenimtza etze talmid chacham beveito. So therefore, I want to say it's about ourselves. Like, how do we house our wisdom? And what does it mean that once we know something, it has to change who we are? But we can't be the same person after we acquire this knowledge. Like, how do we treat the wisdom that we have? How do we treat the Torah that we've learned? What does it do to us? How does it alter our way of being?
right? I think there's a certain way rabbinical students, rabbis, have to walk in the world, how they have to dress in the world. Personally, I don't think that rabbis have downtime and in terms of how they show up and how they walk around in public. If I want to go shopping after I've worked out, then I have to have a shirt in the car to put over my t-shirt. Because I don't know who I'm going to meet at Pico Glot or Ralph's or Trader Joe's or wherever it is I'm going. I don't know. So I need to be dressed in a certain way. And I'd say that he's saying, therefore he's saying, our body is also our home. I don't leave my physical home in a way in which, if God forbid, I didn't come back to the house and someone else had to walk into the house, I'd be embarrassed with. Now, I pray to come home every day at the end of the day. Believe me, I do. But I make sure when I leave my house, if I don't come back and someone else walks into the house. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't dishes in the sink. I love a couple of dishes in the sink because I need a house that's lived in. Some people don't leave dishes in the sink. I think it's okay to leave dishes in the sink. I've said it in public. That's the deal. But there are certain things I won't leave lying around. So if someone walks into my house, I won't dive shame. So there's a certain way of dressing that's appropriate for the gym, and it's not appropriate, in my opinion, to be walking in the streets. My aunt, may she rest in peace, God bless her, she always had a skirt in the car. My mother always had a hat in the car. She used to live in good health. And my aunt, may she rest in peace, always had a skirt in the car. Right? So my aunt had a skirt in the car in case she needed to go to a funeral. My mother had a hat in the car in case she needed to go to a funeral. But that's the, right? I know some rabbis always have another, like they'll have a tie if they're male, or a jacket, or, right, a something to make sure if they need, in the middle of the day, they get a phone call, you need to go somewhere, that you have that attire. But also in terms of our own physical body, like how do we allow what we learn to inform how we treat ourselves? And once our home becomes that Beit Vad L'Chachamim and L'Chochma, how does that alter? Like, once you know certain things about certain kinds of foods, what do you do with it? Do you continue eating it? Or not? I'm looking at myself, right? Or do I call it certain things so I know what I'm talking about? Right? God bless him. When he'd make me a cup of coffee, he would say, how many cancer pellets do you want? That was saccharin. So I made my coffee by myself a lot, because then I actually asked myself the question instead of him asking it to me. Right? But that's the deal. So, yeah, there are certain things that I know that they're not healthy and I still consume, and I haven't incorporated that into my home being a Beit Vad La Chochma Hazo. Like that piece of information, I'm saying it's still a guest. It's not a Ben Bayit. Because if it was a Ben Bayit, then I wouldn't be eating it anymore. That information is a guest. And that's also going to be true. Some information is going to be a guest in our home. And a guest that comes once or twice a year. And some information is going to be, like, I'm blessed. I have a family here in LA that I'd say probably 2 or 3 Shabbatot a month I'm in their home. And it can be a phone call 2 hours before Shabbat. Right? So other verses, other places where, you know, you get an invitation once a year, twice a year, or a week in advance, or a couple of days in advance, or 2 hours, or the kinds of homes that you know that you can walk in and knock on the door and walk in without an invitation, or the people that you call and say, I'm coming for dinner, I'm coming for lunch. These are all the different ways of thinking about what this guest list looks like, whether it's people whether it's wisdom, whether it's information, whether it's thoughts, whether it's feelings. What are the feelings that we cultivate and allow them to become part of who we are? These are all the different ways I'd like to read this Mishnah. Yebetcha bilvad l'chachamim, our physical home, our body as our home, our mind as our home. And how are we in the stance of receiving and growing, receiving and growing? Affection, respect, love, familiar, a little different, not too other, that objectifies relationship. So I want to bless us all as we walk through the streets of the world that we continue to be that Beit Vad HaChachamim on all these different levels that we can, and we meet people that we can invite into the home of our heart, and there are people that we can walk comfortably into the home of their heart as we walk through this week.
Amen.
This podcast is supported in part by a grant from the Hadar Institute. The music is by Joey Weisenberg and the Hadar Ensemble. Learn more at risingsong.org. For more from the Shefa Podcast Network, visit our Facebook page and please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.